I'm going to try something a little unusual there in the teaching mode, and so please be in prayer for them and me and Faith Trip and those kind of things. I appreciate that. Okay, let's pray. Okay, Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity to be here this evening to open up the Scriptures, a very important passage, Heavenly Father, in that which lets the world know that we belong to Jesus Christ, and that is that we love one another as He loved us. We can try so many different ways to impress the world that we are Christian, but Jesus Christ, our Savior, made it very clear. It's not a matter of what we do. It's a matter in which in the power we do it. This has been so clear that if he does say, give, know all things, but does not have love, it profits nothing. Father, we do desire that angels and man know that we belong to Christ. And therefore we pray that the Spirit will continue to transform us into the image of our Savior. We pray now that the Spirit will enlighten us, illuminate these things, these truths before us, Father, that we can see these things, understand them, and become part of our life in dealing with each other. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. How many of you know what this means? That's WWJD. Okay. Went to a bookstore with Dan. I haven't had a chance. I wanted to hit a couple of the Christian bookstores here and see, but I haven't had a chance to. Walked in the door at this, one of the largest bookstores in Tulsa, and there it is. Big as life when you walk in. WWJD. Teenagers. Where this band? This band has WWJD. But go with it for the kids. WWJD. On the one hand, it's sort of a negative thing because, well, you just hate to give a kid something like this. And here I'm going to talk about it and just how horrible it is. And, it sounds like I'm the culprit here. And same thing with Promise Keepers. Just when you really see what's going on, the truth of it. What this means is, this means, what would Jesus do? And they got t-shirts, belts, these things, and Dan said it's a nationwide deal. He knew about it. It's a nationwide movement. And kids are really going for it. What would Jesus do? Pick up this book, and people, it's just so full of legalism, falsehood. It is just a cry. And yet, if you read it, it sounds good. But it doesn't even come near the truth. And kids are in a big movement. And I'm not even sure it clearly understands the gospel. By that, I mean salvation won. But it seems to be able, these kids, I'm hoping I'll meet one someday and wear a shirt. I've been looking every day in the gym, just looking for one. So I can go up and just ask him, what would Jesus Christ do and give him the circumstance? But it assumes that they know, and as I said, it's just filled with such unbelievable legalism in dealing with one another. And when I was going through both things there and then the book after I got back and looking at all this stuff, see, this is what we're studying. I hope I've gotten it across that the one another's that we're looking at, every one of these, is what Jesus Christ did and does. This is not something that Jesus Christ said, this is what I want you to do, and I haven't done it. Everything that we've noted, this is what Jesus Christ would do. What would Jesus Christ do when another person sins? What would Jesus Christ do when this happens and that happens? What would Jesus Christ do? We're studying not only what we need to do in regard to one another, but we're getting a beautiful picture of what it means to be transformed into the image of our Savior. It is not some self-righteous, which is what this book is, legalistic, standing above everything and judging everybody and condemning everything. That is so contradictory to when you get into the scriptures as to what we're looking at. And this is why, another one of the reasons as to why this is so important for us to understand. That these things that we're looking at, I've never had this done for me, and we're making our way through it. A phenomenal one that we're going to look at tonight in regard to what we do with one another. But what we're studying and what we do with one another is what would Jesus Christ do? That's what we're studying, not what's in their teenage book, not what these teenagers mean by it. Yes?
Yeah, kind of funny. What would Jesus Christ do? If we look at John 5:30.
All right, let's look at it. No money there. You got it. That's right. Correct. That's what our Savior did. And got it in every situation. That's exactly right. And, like I said, I saw it and it got in the car because I didn't read Dan, Pat, when we were standing there and got in the car. And said, I really kind of looked at it and started talking. And Dan said, oh my gosh, this thing is so evil. It's unbelievable. He carefully read through the book. I just quickly read through it and said, it is so evil, it's unbelievable. And yet teenagers are, I was standing there buying some of the t-shirts. This thing is really, really hot. But if you see this, WWJD, that's what it means. What would Jesus do? And unfortunately, not Paul. I have no problem with that if we know the truth. And that's the unfortunate thing. With promise keepers, I have a great problem with. I don't even have a problem with that because that's what we're studying. What would Jesus do in the circumstances of all these one another's we've been studying? And we're finding out what Jesus Christ would do. My problem is to be so bold as to present that and then not have the truth of what he did and what he would do. Yes. Absolutely. And that's the whole point, and that's why I said I have no problem with this, because that's the whole point with this. Hopefully, another teenager in school would say, what is that? And the kid gets an opportunity if they know the truth, and that's why I said I don't even know if they understand the gospel. But it serves to that purpose. I have no problem with all of that. I'm not opposed to this kind of stuff. Because, it's difficult to go up to somebody and just talk, but if you got something that says, hey, ask me what that means. And, I have no problem with that. And a lot of your business is built on a button, and maybe people come up and talk with you. I have no problem with this kind of thing with these kids. If that would motivate them to give the gospel, if they truly knew it, yes. Yes. Yes, exactly. And to sit down and start talking with them because they're probably going to want to talk if they've got it on. And if we're led to the Spirit, it'll be done in a loving manner, not attacking. And that's why I said I've been looking for somebody in the gym wearing something. But so far, all the teenagers that come to the gym have monster pictures on their T-shirts and all kinds of unbelievable stuff going on, dragons and all kinds of things. But so I haven't seen this yet. But if you see it, that's what it means. So we come to the question, what would Jesus do? Well, we know what he would do. David just read a great part. We could sum it up in one statement. He would walk by faith in the Spirit to lead him. And we've already studied that in such passages as Luke 2. But we're looking through our study because everything we're looking at, Jesus Christ is our example. And that's why in a lot of these, the qualifier of it, the pattern of it, is Jesus Christ. So once again, I like doing this. I know it takes a few minutes, and I'm not doing it for the time fast. I'm doing it because I want to bring these things just again and again to our minds so that we're sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. We're not sitting down and making a legalistic dogma out of these things. That's why I will give you some examples of this and that and what if this. People, that's exactly the point that in the passage that David read is, I don't know what the Holy Spirit would do in exact image, but if I'm conscious of what the Holy Spirit would lead me to do, then I'll know and can be led in that way. So we have, for an example, first of all, the overall of everything, we are to love one another, and this love is spiritual love by the Holy Spirit, and we spent some time on that. Let me just go through them very quickly. We are to, this is in the book of Galatians, we are to serve. We are to serve one another, and that is in love. And so we spent some time on that, as opposed to lording over them and that type of thing. And then three, very important, is what would Jesus do with a burden that another person has because they sinned? But a direct result. What most Christians would do, this is your burden. You deserve it. You sinned. You did wrong. You failed. Well, Jesus Christ tells us, and this is what he did, they were to bear one another's burdens. And people, again, these are burdens that are related as a result of sin. We go over and help them with the problems that have come into their life by sin and anything else. But this is the primary example. If we can do it here, we can do it under any circumstance. Help bear one another's burdens to make it easier for them to get back into the spiritual momentum. This is what Christ... See, what I want to show you is just take these three. Love as he loves. Serve one another. He's known as the servant in the book of Mark. Bear one another's burdens. He bore all of our burdens on the cross. What would Jesus do? All of these things that we're studying are what our Savior would do and did indeed for us. Then we went to the book of Romans, starting with going next to this book, and we saw, recognize that we are members of one another. Recognize that we are members. In other words, we're in the same family of one another. This is very important. All through Scripture, I'm not going to take time, but just maybe get back to what we're seeing in Genesis 24, Abraham says, don't take a Canaanite, go back to my family. So it becomes very important in recognizing that we are of one another. David, do you have a question?
No, I have.
Don't worry about it. Come on. Yeah, and that's what he did. Of what he did. Of what Jesus Christ would do and did. Okay, recognize that we're members of one another. And then five, we are to be devoted. We are to be devoted to one another. And this can only be done in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. This is opposed to being hardened and judgmental and callous toward one another. And then six, we are to give preference. We are to give preference to one another. This is what Christ did for us. He gave preference to us and died on the cross. So, and we are to do this in an honorable way. It's a qualifier. And then seven, we are to think the same toward one another. In other words, instead of arrogance and superiority, we're to think the same toward one another. This shows that you are a member. This one is that you do not think that you are superior to one another. Eight, very important. We are to build up. one another. This is what Jesus Christ would do. People, this is what he did in the upper room. The disciples were out of line, arguing over who was the more spiritual. Night of the Passover, all these things going on. What did he do? He didn't tear them down, you bums, you no good losers. He built them up. And he gave the communion service and gave them encouragement in regard to their life. Instead of attacking them and destroying them and tearing them down because of their sins and because of their failures and because of how they don't link up with your list. So your list may be knowledge of doctrine. Your list may be service. Your list may be emotionalism. Your list may be righteousness, mind, body, and soul type of things. Put others down and all. No, this is what Christ would do. Christ build up one another. Then 9, be of the same mind with one another. And we spent some time and showing the difference in that and the other two of one another. 10, we are to accept. What would Jesus Christ do with a sinner? And you've got to go to the extremes of the negatives, and anything else is easier to do. We are to accept one another. Well, most Christians want to divorce, want to separate, want to get away from another believer. Cast them out. That's the antonym of to accept, is to cast them out and get rid of them. What would Christ do? He wouldn't do that. These are the things that Christ would do. And then 11, we are to admonish one another to continue to walk by faith. Very close to encouraging, but we're to admonish one another to walk by faith. 12, we are to greet. I still smile every time I go through this one because of the study, but we are to greet one another. Now, 4 passages said with a holy kiss, but it could be a good handshake, whatever the custom is, but it does involve some type of physical. And let them know that they are accepted. Then we went to the book of Corinthians. And the first thing we saw in the book of Corinthians was that we are to wait on one another, particularly in regard to the assembly. In regard to the assembly. Then 14, very important one, and again, Jesus Christ is our example, we are to care for one another. And we studied the antonyms of all of these things, what it would mean if we didn't. Like, for example, if we don't care for one another. And caring for one another means you have to always be thinking of the other person, not yourself. To care for someone means you have to be, what does this person need? What is this person lacking? Because the antonym of this, or this is the opposite of caring for someone, is to be very callous, to disregard, to despise. In other words, you just disregard. You're not going to care about them. Care about yourself. So you're not going to care about others. Jesus Christ cared for us enough to go to the cross and bear our sins in judgment. Then we went to the book of Ephesians and spent some time there, and this is where we are. But be kind. Be kind. This is the 15th one in the book of Ephesians, the first and the 15th in our list. We are to be kind to one another. Fruit of the Spirit, manifestation of spiritual love. We are to be kind to one another. The antonym of all of that would be to do what is bad for them, rotten, spoiled, unprofitable, a detriment to their spiritual life and to their relationship with the Lord. All of these things require things going on in our soul, thinking of the other person, and then action as far as our life is concerned. We are to, the 16th one, we are to submit to one another. Most husbands know submit, the wife is to submit. Very few husbands know the verse just before that has the verb submit. It isn't even in that verse that they're quoting. It's in the previous verse, and we are to submit to one another. But we are to submit to one another. opposite of that is disobedient, departure, going your own way. 17, and 17th is where we left off last week. We are to consider one another more important than self. We are to consider, this is 17, and I hope this pays, I want to get it in half, and just make it so overwhelmingly heavy that you'll see and be conscious of the leading of the Spirit in our lives. But we are to consider one another as more important, not just equal, more important than self. This is what Jesus Christ did when he went to the cross. He thought of himself lower, he thought of us as more important, and he died for us. This is what we are to do in regard to one another. Now, Leslie came up and asked me the anonym of this, because I went on to number 18 without really dealing with the anonym, so it caused me to go to the passage, and I called up Leslie and laughed, and because I told her, I don't have to study it, I have to look that up and everything. What a dummy. If I look at it again so we see it, it's worth looking at. We ought to consider one another more important than self. Look at Philippians 2:3. I want you to see this. I want you to see what's going on. I laughed when I got home and realized what she had asked and what I was doing, and he called her up right away and said, well, this shows you how well I was thinking on my feet. Here's Philippians. Oh, I could tell him about thinking on your feet, couldn't I, Duhan? But I guess it's better not. Yeah, I guess it's better not do that. All right, Philippians chapter 2, and if you look at verse 3, and what we're looking at is this part, considering one another as more important than self, but with humility, in humility, lowliness of mind, these kind of things, regard, consider, esteem one another as more important, better, surpassing yourself. And the opposite of that, well, the first half of the verse is the opposite. Just look at the first part of the verse, verse 3. It gives you the opposite part. Do nothing from selfishness, selfish ambition, strife, self, or empty conceit. This is the way we're going to act if we don't deal with them and think of them as surpassing. Now, having said that, I did grammatical work. This is as opposed to inarrogance and boastful, disdainful pride, considering yourself more important. That's the opposite of considering the other person as more important than you. The opposite of this is inarrogance, to consider or regard yourself as more important, better, and surpassing. And that usually comes when a person has their list. And by those most of you here tonight know what I mean. They have their list of what you do for God. And generally, the list that people have is related. One is related to the mind, and that is learning doctrine. The other is related to the body, and that's moral righteousness. And the other is related to the emotion, and that's the charismatic experience. This is my list. And this a list always breeds arrogance, a consideration that you're better than somebody else because of your list. When you understand that we all do it by faith, so then the list are done away with. And that brings us to, and we've just gotten into it last week, that brings us to the 18th one. And the 18th one is, we are to, here's number 18, we are to bear with one another. We are to bear with one another. Different word than bearing one another's sins. This is a different word. Just talking with you, and we'll look at it, but this word means to bear with one another means you bear with their sinfulness. You bear with their failure. In bearing, you don't get out of your own spiritual life, out of your own relationship with the Lord, because of what they do. Now let's turn to Colossians 3:13. This is in Colossians. We're in the book of Colossians now. 3:13. Colossians 3:13. Let's take a look at it. Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. This is also found, and I want to deal with the Colossians one, and we'll look at it why as we go through, but you look at Ephesians. Turn back to just a page or two to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, he's a prisoner of the Lord in the sense of servitude, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance, that's the same word we have in Colossians 3:13, forbearance to one another. And this adds a little qualifier for us, in love, that is, in spiritual love. People, it's not a matter of just what we do. That's the Pharisees. That's a religious concept. We can do anything and everything. If it isn't done in love, people, it doesn't matter. It's of no profit, no benefit. This is done in spiritual love. Okay, so this is the manner that we are to do. Now, we are to bear with one another. And again, I want this in your mind so that you can see how this is going to be able to be done. Because people, when you're really tested, you know, we're sitting here and say, oh man, that's really cool, and until you're really tested, then we find 100 reasons why, no, that doesn't mean that here. It meant it was this little thing over here. But no, man, I'm not to bear with this person being so obnoxious all the time. I'm not to bear that. No, you see? No, people, don't deceive yourself. Because in an extreme example, this is what Christ does with us, did and does with us. He bears with us. What is going to make it possible to do this? Because this is impossible when you're really tested. Look with me again at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I know you know this, but sometimes just seeing it in the text will help you. Okay, now look at what we're dealing with. We are to bear with one another. That means to bear with their sins, their failures, their obnoxiousness, all this kind of thing. We're to bear with one another. How can I do that? Okay. Two things. Look with me at verse 4. Love is long-suffering. That's on the inside. Long-suffering. It doesn't react. And then look at verse 7. Love bears all things. So, how am I going to bear with one another? And we haven't even got into it, but I'm just going through what it means. How am I going to bear with one another? People, if spiritual love is truly flowing through you, it is a characteristic of spiritual love to bear with one another. That's what spiritual love will do under the most adverse of circumstances. We could pick on the disciples and say this is what Christ did his whole 3 years with them. But I'll go better than that. This is what Christ does with each of us in our whole life. He bears with us. And if you're honest with yourself, you smile inside and say, yeah, boy, he really has to bear with the way I am. I know one or two of you think the Lord has an easy deal with you, and we're happy for you. But most of us, if we are honest in our soul, boy, the Lord does bear with me all day long. This is what he does. What would Christ do? He bears with us in these things. Okay, let's go to Colossians 3, and get to work. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and let's read the context, so let's read from verse 12. Our word is in verse 13, but that's in the middle of a sentence. So let's at least be contextually truthful enough to get into a sentence and see the sentence. Verse 12, and so, as those who are, those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved. Three things. Chosen of God, holy and beloved. Because of that, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility. It's always there. That's walking in the Spirit by faith. Gentleness and patience. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. You know, the president of Dallas Seminary has come up with this idea, there's a different types of forgiveness. Some of you heard him so speak that way. There are different types of forgiveness, a personal and impersonal type of forgiveness. I'm going to show you, this isn't in the Bible, but that'll come up in our next one. Right now we're dealing with bearing with one another. So let's get to work here. All right. First of all, we've seen how important qualifiers are. Question. Why? Why should I bear with this person? It's much easier to separate from them, and that's that. That's the solution most people have. People, why do you think you gave us the Holy Spirit if the solution to our problems is just move, get away, separate? Is that the solution that God is always looking for? I can't get along with my mother, I'll just get away from her. I can't get along with my husband, my wife, my children, my parent, my friend. Well, if I just get away from them, don't have any problem. Is that the solution that we're looking at? Is that why God has given to us the Spirit and given us all of these things that we're looking at? Then we come to the question, well, why should I bear with one another? Why should I bear with this Christian who's obviously a jerk? Why should I bear with this Christian who's always hurting over and over? Why should I bear with one another? All right, qualifier. First of all, we have two in this passage. Two reasons. Two qualifiers as to why we should do this. Two reasons that answer the question why. The first one, let's look at it. The first one, we are as those who are those who have been chosen of God. All right, let me say it. The first one I want to look at is because of position in Christ. Your position in Christ and their. Remember that one another is another believer. Their position in Christ. That's why. You want to know why? Because you are in Christ. You're not your own. You've been purchased. The world isn't going to run and turn around you. We are positioned in Christ. Secondly, they are positioned in Christ. What we often do when we're dealing with each other, we immediately go to me and you and how you hurt me. People, what the hope this passage gets you to do is it isn't me. Not even Christ did that. Going by the passages that David pulled out. What did he do? It isn't me. It's the Father. I don't act because of who and what I am. I act because of the Father. So what God the Father is. He is not telling us to do anything that he himself did not do. So, the reason why we are going to bear with one another is because of their position in Christ. Now let's look at their position in Christ. Three things. One, they have been chosen of God. They have been given the gospel invitation to be the bride of his Son, and they have, by faith, accepted that. Secondly, their status of holiness. They are holy. That is, they have imputed righteousness. They are set apart for God's purpose. They are set apart for God's purpose. And because they are set apart for God's purpose, we're going to bear with one another so that they can hopefully move back into a relationship with the Lord. And third, they are in the beloved. And that's hard to believe when you consider what they've just done that I'm supposed to bear with them and keep on doing. And keep on doing it. Now, if they're walking in the Spirit, people, they won't. Let's always remember that. If we walk in the Spirit, this is the part of that will not sin. But what we're looking at is, what happens if this person isn't walking in the Spirit? Does that give me the opportunity to go to law, to run, to go to flesh? No. We are to bear with one another because of their position in Christ, and they are in the beloved. So this is their position. They share our belovedship with Christ. So because of these things in Christ, in light of them, we are to bear with one another. And then secondly, it's the first one, position in Christ. And secondly, because if we're walking by the Spirit and by faith, we are going to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit flowing through us. Let's take a look. Because all of these are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Put on, and we do not do this by self-discipline of flesh. Put on is by faith in Christ. Just putting on Christ is by faith. Put on means that this is what will clothe your soul, clothe your thinking, and clothe your action. And look at these things. Heart of compassion. We're not here to study these things, but to have compassion rather than hardness toward another person. Kindness, humility, gentleness, fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 6, and patience, Galatians 5, and patience, also fruit of the Spirit. All come from the fruit of the Spirit. So as one belonging to Christ, in compassion, in kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another. Okay, this is a present middle participle. Excuse me, present middle imperative participle uses a verb of anako. To bear is anako. And that's A-N-E-C-H long O. All right, what does the word mean now that we have it on the board? All right, the prefix. That prefix, I won't go through why, but we've taken off a vowel, and this prefix is actually A-N-A. It's added to a word. And the prefix ana gives us the ideal of in. This is the ideal of in. And then we have the root word echo, E-C-H-O, and that means to have. Okay, how do we put this together and how do they come up with this word? Greek's a beautiful, beautiful language. What the word means is to hold up against. Now, I want to put something on the board because I want you to see this, because you'll miss it in the English. To bear with one another, it has it once you see what I want to point out. And so I want to put these things on the board so that you'll see what's going on. It means to hold up against. To hold up against. Okay? This is the key word I want to look at in a moment as we go through it. To hold back from falling. From falling. To hold back from falling. Now, to hold back, to hold up, to hold back, these types of things from falling. What I want you to see that this Greek word does, not only does it emphasize this part, but it emphasizes the resistance. They're real big in the weight room on resistance training. And we've been doing it. Anybody been doing weights, I know they've been doing it, but they make a deal about it. And machines are designed for resistance training. And so you work on a resistance against your body. And that's what this word is emphasizing. You have to think about, again, from falling, from whatever it is, hold up, to bear with means to hold up, to hold back against or from falling. This is what we're going to do with another believer. These are the actions we're going to have with another believer. To hold up against, to hold back from falling, to hold out, to endure. In regard to persons, it means to bear with, to put up with, have patience with, especially in regard to sins, errors, weakness, failures. Do this. And it has several things in mind. It means to hold up, first of all, yourself. To hold up yourself. We've seen this many times, but here it is again. First of all, it means to hold up yourself from falling. Okay, what does that mean? What is the natural thing? Somebody hurts you, what's the natural thing in the flesh to do? Hurt them up. Get back. Vengeance. That type of thing. So the first thing bearing with someone means is to hold yourself up against yourself falling. Yourself going back. And secondly, then it refers to the other person to hold them up, to hold up from falling and against, to hold them up. And this is going to make it, again, I'm going to emphasize it, make it easy. Easy for them to get back into the spirit-filled life. And people, this word right there, a lot of Christians are hating that word now. It's too easy. Now, they didn't mind it at the cross. And that's John MacArthur's big thing in his book on Lordship Salvation. He says our teaching of disbelieving in Christ for salvation is easy salvation. Too easy. People, it's got to be easy because we're sinners. But he wants to work at it. Now people that have accepted Christ as Savior, they don't like spirituality being so easy as just procured by faith, or making it easy for another believer to get right back into the spirit-filled life. It's too easy. Always think about the cross. It's on that basis that we're able to do these things, and I point that out as we go through these things. Now, we are to hold up against, to hold back ourselves and the other person, to bear with them so we can continue to have them grow and get into the spirit-filled life themselves. And again, that's why I took you to what spiritual love is. Spiritual love is long-suffering. Spiritual love bears all things. Because spiritual love is long-suffering, we're able to bear with another person in all of their problems, and we are able to endure over and over. This isn't a one thing, people. This is the practice of your life and what happens to them. Hold up to bear with one another. The only way you're going to do that, if you live by law, you're not going to do it, nor should you. You live by law, you should not have to put up with that. That's why it's so easy to always revert to law, to justice. Because if I can change over to law and just go by what is right from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, I don't have to bear with this. I don't have to put up with this. But if we go to the tree of life, it's what we are to do, because that's what Christ did and does with us. What would Jesus Christ do? Jesus Christ bears with us. And I'll show you some passages in a few moments. But it is spiritual love that is long-suffering. So we're able to bear with one another, endure the sins and failures of one another without reacting, without moving out, without going to law. We're able to continue to walk in the Spirit and make it easy for them to get back into the spirit-filled life themselves. This is, that is with patience, long-suffering, and those words involve when another person is in sin, error, weakness, failures, these kinds of things. And then, as I said, spiritual love bears all things. So what we're really reading is the love of Christ flowing through us. Now, as opposed to what? Bear with one another, as opposed to what? And again, several weeks ago, I was doing some work, and it just occurred to me, sometimes it's easy to understand these things if we go to the antonyms, as opposed to what? If I do not bear with one another, what is it that I will be doing? And the antonym, but really a well-done lexicon by a Greek scholar, and he's put in his antonyms, that go with this, and synonyms and antonyms, and it really is good for a word study. Okay, as opposed to what? Okay, we are to bear with one another instead of this, and the antithesis of this, or the other side of this, is the word krino. K-R-I-N long O. And krino means to judge. Judging one another. If I'm not going to bear up with you and your failures, I'm now a judge. And since I've now, what does this mean? I've gone to some system of justice or law. If I'm going to judge you, I have that word is based upon the fact I have gone to a system of justice and law. I have changed my whole thinking now, people. Do you see how the thinking changes? If I don't bear with you, and I'm going to judge you, I change my whole system of thinking. Instead of my thinking being here, the cross, and bearing with one another as Christ does, I changed over now to law. You've changed your whole way of thinking, your whole foundation. And people, once you make this slight adjustment, everything you do is justified. I can judge you, malign you, separate from you, whatever it is, get even with you, whatever. Because now I've gone to a system of justice and law. This is powerful. The moment you decide I'm not going to bear this anymore, and I'm going to go and judge you and point out to you why you're wrong in all of this, and what I can do in this regard is that I've changed my whole way of thinking. I'm no longer thinking like Christ thought. I'm now thinking the way Satan thinks. This is Satan's whole foundation, people. He has the ability to judge all people. God is not able to make righteous from the book of Job, the first book written, all the way through. And in the church age, he goes to the throne of God and accuses. What does he assume? I have all the facts to judge others.
I have everything I need. And so I'm going to judge and deal with others according to law. Remember, Satan is one of the strongest advocates of law, of righteousness and justice. And he demands that God be that and never be anything but that. So what we do, when if we're not going to bear with one another, what we are going to do, we're going to change our whole mode of thinking now from bearing with one another. I'm now going to change things to justice and law. And people, this is so comfortable. This is so right. I have right on my side, because I've got law. So I've got right on my side of what I'm doing. It's comfortable for me. It's much more comfortable to judge and to separate than it is to bear and keep on bearing. This is a lot easier to do this and treat others this way. Just remember, if that's the way you want to treat others, that's the way God will treat you. You want to treat others in law, He will treat you in law. You want to deal with others in grace and love, spiritual love, then He'll deal with you that way. You get to choose. So this is the opposite. This is the way that we can do this. So instead of bearing with them, we're going to judge them, malign them, ridicule them, and then we'll base our action upon law. We're not going to base our action any longer on the cross. We're going to base it on law. This is why people often, this is everything that and this is what we're studying is, these are all the things that we're supposed to do in regard to each other. We're not supposed to lie to one another. We're not supposed to steal from one another. We're not supposed to have immoral conduct toward one another. We're not, but what happens when a believer does do these things? What does the Bible say I'm supposed to do? And most people will say that's when you go over to law. No, that's why we're studying this list. The Bible has not left us without an answer of what to do. That's what we're studying. The biblical answer of what we do, not God, what we do in regard to these things. The other part's left up to God. So, just have to remember this. I want you to look at Matthew 17, 17. Oh, my goodness. Matthew 17, 17. Matthew 17, 17. Okay. And Jesus answered and said, this is our Lord, our Savior, oh, unbelieving, what would Jesus do? Here you have it. WWJD. And Jesus answered and said, oh, unbelieving, they're unbelievers, perverted. That's pretty powerful. Generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? And that's our word bear. I'm sorry they translated it that way here. How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me, here to me. Instead of judging, leaving, no, I'm not going to heal. What does he say? Bring him to me. I'm still bearing with you. Still bearing with you. Look at 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. Now, Paul is in 2 Corinthians defending himself and his own action. And the Corinthians have him bore with him. They're mad at him. And so he makes a statement in verse 20. 2 Corinthians 11, 20. For you bear with anyone if he enslaves you, if he devours you, enslaves you to law. If he devours you, that's a word used in Galatians for being devoured by each other in judgment and abuse. If he takes advantage of you, if he exalts himself, if he hits you in the face. See, they bear with what's going on under law, but they will not bear with Paul under grace, faith, and truth. So we are to bear with one another instead of judging, separating. We're to bear with their sins, their failures, how they keep hurting. Christianity is so filled with arrogance, spiritual arrogance, we do not want to bear with one another, and yet this is what we are to do in the Scriptures. We are to bear with one another, with them, so that we can edify them, bring them back to truth, spirit-filled life. Now, let's go back. Let's look at Ephesians 4 just a moment. Let's finish Ephesians 4. and when finished this. Ephesians chapter 4, remember that it was in two places, in Colossians 3:12, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Now, let's look at the other passage, Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, I therefore, which begins the sentence and the concept, I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, entreat you, and the word entreat, to exhort you, and the idea of this is what I want you to be sensitive of, the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's all that we can do with these things, is to be sensitive of how the Holy Spirit would lead me in this deal. Is he going to lead me by law, or is he going to lead me by grace and faith? What's he going to lead me? All right, so we're sensitive. So that's what he said. Entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Now, what this book then follows, and what most legalists say, well, now we're going to go through, be very righteous, don't sin, and all of those kind of things. Look at it. What would you expect if you didn't know the next verse? Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord entreats you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. I want you to be righteous, and I want you to never sin, and all these kind of things. Look what he says is the worthy walk, people. Look at what the worthy walk is. With all humility. Wow. I thought the worthy walk was going to exalt me. Well, I'm going to be a big shot if I can do all the things of the law. And the first thing out of the chute is humility. Gentleness. With patience, showing forbearance to one another in love. Now, if you permit me, if you think with me, I want to read the NIV just on verse 2. That's what the NIV says. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. To show you the main thing I'm showing you here is, they translate these as very strong verbs. The King James says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing. There's the participles, and that's what you have in the text, the participles. Long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. The NIV translates these as verbs, imperatives. Be humble, be gentle, be patient. The NASB and the King James translates them as prepositional phrases. The preposition, plus the genitive and all that. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling. Now, we have various prepositional phrases. With humility, gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another. Now, I'm not going to go into all of the grammar of translating a participle as an imperative or as a verb. The main thing for our study that I want you to see before we leave tonight is this. I want you to see what the worthy walk is. What is the worthy walk? I want to walk worthy of the Lord. I want to walk in the worthy walk, worthy of my position in Christ. This is what we're looking at. And what is a worthy walk? Walk in humility. That is, I need the Holy Spirit. I can't do this without the Spirit. I trust the Spirit, as opposed to arrogance. I don't need to have faith. I don't need to trust. I can just do this. And gentleness. This is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And very quickly, because this isn't our study, one of the best ways of understanding what gentleness means is to understand that we do not deal with one another. The opposite of it, the opposite of the Greek word for gentle, is in anger. Having a disposition of anger, indignation. Dealing with one another when they are wrong. Sin, and they've hurt you and all, to be indignant toward them as opposed to being gentle. But they don't deserve to be treated gently. And you do when you sin. Well, but I don't sin like they do. I'm easier to be gentle with. No, people. You don't want to deal in gentleness. You want to deal in law. That's how God will deal with you. It's coming up. You want to deal with God under the law of Christ. Spiritual life by grace and faith, then that's how God will deal with you. You get to choose. But what I want you to see here is in gentleness is the opposite of being indignant, angry with what the other person does. Let's continue on in the passage then. It says, therefore, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, and so showing forbearance, and the patience again is makrothumia. It's the same word that we have in 1 Corinthians 13 describing spiritual love. The elements of spiritual love are on so many of these. And the long-suffering, makrothumia, is the same word used in that. And then you have bearing with one another. And then we're going to have in love. But showing forbearance to one another. NIV says bearing with one another. Same word, present middle participle. Sometimes translated as imperative, of an echo. Same as Colossians 3:13. Bearing with their failures, their sins, their wrongs, how they deal with us. Now the qualifier. Let's close with the qualifier. We are to bear with one another. You know, sometimes we have to bear with one another. There's not a thing we can do about it. Let's just say we're with them in a home, in a marriage, at work. And there's just nothing we can do, but we're going to have to bear with them. But we can make life hell for them while we're bearing with them. And we can hurt them. We can just treat them in a way, all right, I'm going to bear with you. I'm going to put up with this, but you're going to pay for it. I'm very conscious of this around my mother, the way people are around old people. They bear with them, but a lot of people are very rude in their bearing with somebody. And this is the way a lot of Christians are toward one another. You don't get away with that here. There's a qualifier. Just bearing with somebody. Boy, I put up with you all these years. No, that ain't going to cut it. And there's your qualifier. In spiritual love. And that changes the whole dimension. It changes the whole environment. People, I'm going to tell you something. There are people who bear with one another and stay in the marriage or stay in the situation. And they're so proud of, boy, the burden I bear being with you and bearing and putting up with you. And I want you to understand something. It isn't profiting them one iota at the judgment seat of Christ. Not one. There are going to be people who have bared with something or someone all their life, and they just know they're going to be rewarded for it. No, they're not, because they didn't do it in spiritual life. People, I want you to be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ when you stand there. We're a small force of an assembly here, but I want every one of you walking away with crowns and rewards. And you will, if these things are done in spiritual love. This is the whole concept of 1 Corinthians 13, the first three verses. If I speak in the language of men and angels and have not love, profits me nothing. If I give all my money to feed the poor, profits me nothing. If I know all the mystery, all knowledge, all doctrine, and have not love, I am nothing. If I give everything I own and give myself over to the poor, even my own body, have not love, it profits me nothing. There will be a lot of people who have done a lot of things. They didn't do it in the power of the Spirit. They didn't do it in spiritual love. This is a qualifier in spiritual love. This is what I have to do. This is tough, people. Do you understand why this is here? Because this is tough. It's tough to bear with somebody over and over and over and not react and not judge. I can't do it. That's why it says in love. Now you can do it. It's giving you the power in spiritual love to do it. So this is a good, excellent place to learn something about spiritual love. I've been told for many years that spiritual love is God's affection, it's emotion, affection, this type of thing. People bearing with one another is not an emotion. It's not an affection. Bearing with one another in long suffering is a characteristic of Jesus Christ himself on the cross and in life. This is what we're learning what spiritual love really is and what it looks like. What does spiritual love look like? Spiritual love bears with one another. Helps that other person. And whatever you're bearing with them with can be a sin or it can just be the circumstances of their life. Old age, to throw it out. But whatever it is that you're bearing with one another, it's got to be done in spiritual love. it's no profit to you. We're to bear with one another in love. The opposite of love, of course, is hate. The whole study of 1 John is in that regard. Okay, so then we have Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Ephesians 4:2, with all humility, gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to see these things, Heavenly Father, and to see what Jesus Christ would do, what Jesus Christ has already done as our example and pattern, and has given to us the same power to do that which He would do, and which He did for us. Father, we are most grateful that our Savior will bear with us in the journey from being saved out of the flesh to being transformed into the glory of His image. And do that journey, Heavenly Father, a bearing with each of us that He must do. And so, Heavenly Father, it becomes so easy to understand bearing with one another in their journey of being transformed into the image of Christ. Father, we praise you for the God you are in your Son's precious name. Amen.